Hi, and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Mark.
I'm Vlad.
Let's get started. We had a very big event this past week, our annual Fall Connect event, which is based around developing Visual Studio,
or
improvements in like your development life cycle, let's call it.
Connect, not connect.
Yes, with a C and parentheses. It is a method. I don't know if you leave out the semicolon, if there's a syntax error, or if we can just...
They can do it.
Yeah.
They make developer tools.
That's right.
So the event is huge, and when we watching this kind of show, the event is already over, but you can go back to Channel 9 and watch it, like the whole event.
All the videos will be, are available as the time of you're watching this right here on Channel 9. We have a nice little screenshot here. There's already videos available as we are speaking. I don't know the actual number. It's a lot, though.
That's a lot.
Many, many hours to watch, like more than you can fill your whole weekend doing this.
Oh, the whole week.
So the announcements that were made were varied and great. We can start with .NET Core and the release candidate for ASP.NET 5.
Five.
So the nice thing about this release candidate is it has a Go Live license. So you are able to go ahead and use this in production software and get support from us. So the betas, we don't really recommend you do that because there are betas and there are changes. But this release candidate, you can go ahead and use.
Yeah. So that's basically new .NET.
It is. There's a bunch of changes here.
Yeah, and people already forgot. They do C# development on different platforms, on Windows, for universal apps, for desktop apps. But that's a big step ahead. Do you remember when .NET 5 was shipped? I don't remember.
No.
It was many years ago.
No. I mean, one of my first professional jobs was converting classic ASP to ASP.NET, like the early days of .NET 1.1 and 2.0. And we've come a long way. In fact, ASP.NET 5 doesn't even really support web forms anymore. They've been supported for a very long time, but with this new nimble kind of server and framework, we've got we're in a much better place than we used to be now. It's amazing how far we've come.
That's cool. Talking about announcements from Connect and not from Connect, probably for me personally, one of the biggest announcements was open sourcing Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, so I mean, this is something that was just announced. Visual Studio Code itself announced not even a year ago.
At Build.
So in April, or May, whatever that was. And now we've open sourced it. It supports development across all our platforms, Linux, Mac, and Windows. Super cool, lightweight editor.
Yeah, they also announced a bunch of new kind of plugins for Visual Studio Code, basically plugin gallery. They now support Go language, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, and actually John Montgomery made a great post of all the announcements from Connect, so you can go and read all of them. Another announcement they made was actually a public preview for Visual Studio Team Services called Search.
Real quick, Visual Studio Team Services itself was an announcement. That is the new name for Visual Studio Online.
Ah, cool.
So for those of you who are a little confused there by the names, Visual Studio Team Services is what Visual Studio Online was called. Not an editor. It is the whole suite of things online for source control, work item management, all that stuff. And now a new robust code search mechanism.
Yeah, code search is a big deal. I'm using it actually with our internal systems every day. If you want to find something, it's a lot faster to use a kind of indexed mechanism than just to try, I don't know what, download and
search. And you go and you get a little code splunking and all of a sudden you find some interesting things.
Yeah.
We had some updates for the Windows Bridge for iOS, so we released that as an open source project in August. And we now have a bit of a roadmap of where we're going, what's going on. There are new updates on, they call them Zibs?
Yeah. Obviously, all these updates are coming from your feedback. So we open sourced it, we made it available, you started using it, you gave us feedback, I'm trying to convert this application from iOS to Universal Windows platform, and I'm getting problem, I'm hitting this wall, so why don't you fix it? So we started fixing it, and This post by Adam Denning actually explains what we've done already and what we're going to do next. Another big announcement.
The Microsoft Graph.
Yeah, we talking about this family of Office 365 APIs for a while now. And now we actually, first we changed the name, which is a big deal. Yeah, and we also announced that you can actually start using it in different ways. And we had a great demo by, was it Scott? Yeah, it was called Scott Hanselman, I believe, at stage. So basically, Microsoft Graph, it's a big API. It's a big like fusion of APIs across all Office 365 products. So you can do like very fancy queries across the Office 365 data.
I like the fact that in the graphic they have here, the graphic, they have the user in the middle. That's kind of what ties it all together. For a user, you know, what's out there? With Office 365, you have messaging, you have notes, you have documents, you have connections. Other devices, actually, all your devices, you sign in with your Microsoft account, so you can manage those from there. There are one section of the APIs which are already in general availability. There's another whole set that are in preview, including notifications and organizational contacts, Planner, OneNote's in there. It really is just, it's a great thing to compile all these together. Because now, like, anything you want to look up about a user, about any of this stuff, there's a single place, a single set of APIs, all managed. Very nice to have.
Yeah, with the general availability of Microsoft Graph, you can really can go ahead with your Office-based APIs, and you can start serving all these, I don't know, a huge number of Office users and Office 365 servers growing like crazy.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. Talking about different events, we already know that Ignite,
yes,
2016
we
is coming very soon.
We talked a few weeks ago about our calendar for next year, including Build, Ignite, everything in between.
I believe we were talking about that, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, Microsoft Azure team and Marco Sinovich in particular already started talking about the event, what we're going to do at the event, and why you should go to
Ignite. This is early. This is early to be teasing out content. So it's a good sneak preview for what's going to happen. I think it's 6 months from now.
Yeah, but people want to know.
It's also always better to get your tickets earlier than later. There's numerous amounts of better hotel selection, early bird specials, all that fun stuff. So definitely take a look at what's going to be there. Use this to convince your boss that you need to get a week off to go to Ignite.
Yeah. Let's switch to developer stuff.
Yeah.
There is a very interesting post by Usman Anwar, if I pronounce it right,
from
a developer ecosystem and platform team. He's talking about shipping SQLite, or how they call it?
Yeah, SQLite.
SQLite for Windows 10. You know that the Universal Windows Platform is different. When you take any open source library, especially if it's a very complex library like SQLite, it takes some time and it takes some, I don't know, efforts from you to port this library to Universal Windows Platform. And the team was actually working with the original SQLite team to make this port like really the best port ever. Because before, we know that the community is very good in porting stuff, but when it's not your primary job, it's usually a little different versus if you really want to make this library
like a native
more
component, like built in. It's a Windows feature.
Feature at this point. So he explains how they did it.
Yeah.
So and it's probably good if you're porting anything to Universal Windows Platform or from one platform to another platform. It's really good to read and.
It's porting something to now, again, the Universal Windows Platform means you're running it across Xbox to phone and everything in between. One interesting thing I didn't realize was this is Cortana and Skype, two of our potentially biggest name in like most public features, they're running on SQLite. So this isn't something we just took lightly for some extra stuff or some random support. This is being used by the core of the applications that we are using today.
Right? Yeah, so basically you use same library from devices like this, to a huge, I don't know, huge data centers and servers running on top of SQLite. I mean, data centers and server application running on top of this library with the performance they want and with the scalability they
without
want.
Without having to set up a whole huge database infrastructure, like you just need some data stored and it works.
Great. let's go to the client, like a bit deeper.
Yeah, a little switch from data structures, databases to web.
Yeah, Cherry.
HTML5. I mean, JavaScript development, but support for the GamePad API for web games.
Yeah, Charlie put together a nice story about using GamePads with your web games. So there is a GamePad API for using, like, not just in games, but anyway, in the browser. And the GamePad is really a good thing for some scenarios, and games is obviously like the closest scenario to GamePad. But that's a good thing with the demo and with the explanation how to get started with these APIs or like best practice and everything. And again, as the most thing in the web, it's multi-platform, kind of GamePad agnostic. So it's really good for you to read. And if you're a web developer and you're making games, stop. Yeah, go ahead.
anything that works against like X input and direct input devices will work. Even things such as remote apps that you can have on your phone that mimic a gamepad and use your computer's receiver, those will work too. So it truly is a like great little gateway to get in existing controllers that people are used to right in there. Yeah, no more keyboard and mouse, man. For first person shooters, it's still my preferred method.
Sure. And given the fact that I only play first-person shooters, that's the only way for you. But don't listen to it. People play different games. By the way, games.
Speaking of games.
What if you want to put a game into something that can learn, that can teach people?
An educational experience
like,
out of it.
That people can learn from. Minecraft team, and actually Microsoft team, and Code.org team, they actually came together and decided, why don't we use Minecraft to teach people how to code, right?
And this is part of an initiative of, there's a Computer Science Education Week. It happens the second week of December. One of the highlights of that is called the Hour of Code, where you just get people to code for an hour. That little bit is enough to spark a lot of people's interest in actual programming. A lot of people, pretty much everyone uses computers day to day, and many of them have probably wondered how does it all work. This is a great way to get insight, and by using something that students are so familiar with, like Minecraft, is a great way to grab people's interest and show them the inside, show them how it's done. So very cool that we're still working with the Hour of Code and Code.org with all of this. You can find out more. It's education.minecraft.net. We have a whole bunch of like curriculum and stuff you can do to figure it out on your own as well if you don't have an organization in the area.
Yeah, I used to play with the Minecraft extensions.
The server mods,
plugins,
kind of stuff.
All this stuff. And that's pretty interesting. So I should probably take a look. Pick of the week.
Picks of the week.
Nice. And we start from my pick of the week, which is Future Visions book. Basically, it's a book created by multiple science fiction authors. And this book is inspired by Microsoft. So those authors, the writers, they basically came to Microsoft. They've seen a lot of technologies we shipped or we about to ship. They kind of rethink everything in their mind, and they sat together and said, okay, why don't we write the science fiction book, which is pretty easy to read, or should be easy to read. That inspired by Microsoft technologies. That's really interesting. I'm going to read it.
They're free.
They're free on different kind of book websites from Amazon or whatever, and just read it. It's a good reading. People already told me that
good reviews coming in.
Good reviews are coming in. So I'm definitely gonna read it.
Yeah, I mean, I always love the it's this relationship that we've always had, science and science fiction. They feed off of each other. The number of things we have today that are reality that were, you know, you watch Star Trek from the 1970s or 80s, and you see all these things like, wow, doors that automatically open, and devices where I can just communicate with anyone with a press of a button. Crazy. But it's real life now, so can't wait to see what's in there and see what we can maybe make in the next
years. Yeah, it's actually very interesting. To your point, people usually, like scientists or engineers, they're usually inspired by science fiction and they're making things make it like the reality. This is the kind of the opposite. Mm-hmm. He used technologists to inspire science fiction authors to write a book. That's nice.
I like it. I like that relationship. Yeah. My pick of the week, today, the day of this release is November 20th, 1985. 30 years ago was the release of Windows.
Happy birthday to you, Windows.
Now Windows is now 10 or 30, one of those. but Tom Warren, our friend over at The Verge, has a visual history, screenshots from every operating system from 1.0, 3.1, everything 98, the whole history up until today's Windows 10, and talks a little bit about the history. There's a commercial that stars Steve Ballmer in there selling, you know, why you need Windows. There's a great shot on the front of Bill 30 years ago, looking young. It's amazing that it's been 30 years. 30 years of like personal computing. And again, I talk about how far we've come from these big bulky machines that some people had in their offices to everyone having one in their pocket and being a fashion accessory. Can't wait to see where we go in the next 30. Absolutely crazy.
Nice.
That about wraps it up for this week.
Happy birthday, Windows.
Happy birthday, Windows.
Thank you for being with us.
See you next time.
Have fun.